Well, good morning. Today we're continuing our series on following in his footsteps. And this is a topic that, as I was kind of getting into it, I thought, how do you talk about gentleness? And so we talked about compassion already. We talked about being loving. And how is this really any different? So that, as we're kind of going through our series here, this is a schedule here of all the different topics we're going to go through and how, and this is just a few of the things Jesus really emulates for us in following in his footsteps. Today we're going to look at being gentle, as I've said, and how we can really become gentle inside ourselves in ways we can't imagine. This topic might seem, boring or unimaginative in a sense, but it surprised me as I kind of got into it, and I think it might surprise you. So, we talked about gentleness being a fruit of the Spirit, and apparently, there it is, but this is from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And by the way, to prepare you, not all the verses will be displayed today, so you may want to have your Bibles ready. Galatians 5, this is a very common, or not common, this is a well-known verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, it's one of the, there it is right there, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I found this image here of, I guess, these different things are various fruits, and gentleness is a lemon, for whatever reason. So I'm not sure why, but that's the case. So it is a fruit of the Spirit. And so that means an outcome, something that comes that can be used by the Lord. And what is that? Why would this be a separate character quality? And why should we emulate it? And so one of the things that, if you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to start with verse 1. And this is talking about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It's like, why is he picking this? This is very weird. And I'll just go ahead and read this first. This is from Matthew 21, starting at the beginning. It says, "And when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go unto the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' It took place to fulfill what the spoken through the prophet, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road." That's where we get Palm Sunday from. "And the crowds going ahead of them and those who follow were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowds were saying, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.'" So why did I mention this in regard to gentleness? Well, this is a perfect picture of gentleness, really. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. And this is a quote, direct quote from Zechariah 9, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9. So this is a fulfillment of that prophecy, which also says gentle. He was a king, yet for our sake humbled himself. He did not come in as a king. He was gentle and humble. I don't think if he came in the way he really deserved it, we as a people could handle that. We couldn't handle it. So he was gentle with us. He came in with much less than what he deserved. Easter and Christmas are reminders of this gentleness. The king is born. The Savior comes, is born in a manger, in a very humble way. I think if he came as he really deserved, we would die. And now he offers us his gentleness as a gift. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will be filled with the fruit of this gentleness. So how does this relate to me, you might ask? How am I supposed to be gentle when the world all around me is harsh? We're reminded of that almost on a daily basis. I need to show power and beat up bullies and stand up for myself. It's a tough world out there, like Clint Eastwood or Arnold Schwarzenegger. We have to out of the way, puny babies. You need to be powerful and large and in charge if you're going to make it. That's what we believe. That's what we're told. But we'll see that the Lord God, the King Jesus, could have done that at any time, but didn't. He chose to be gentle for our sake. So that's what we're going to review. What is gentleness? We'll talk about giving him control, recognizing his ways and his plans are over all, how to correct people in gentleness, and then how to receive gentleness for ourselves. Let's pray first, and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you that you show us how to be gentle, how there is what is contrasted gentleness is strength, and how you show that. And I just ask that you would show us today your gentleness and how we can emulate that in ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first thing we're going to ask is, what is gentleness? And from Matthew 5:5, you know, it says it's a fruit of the Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit works in us to be more like Christ, and part of the fruit or the result of that work is gentleness. So gentleness, also translated, means meekness, but it does not mean weakness. So here's a verse where it comes from. We also hear it says, blessed are the gentle, or some translations say the meek, right? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And sometimes I would always be concerned about that. It's like, well, being meek, you know, kind of the first thing that comes to mind would be this guy. So anyone that 1,000 points would know who this is. What's that? The character's name is actually Mr. Meek. But I remembered him because he only appears in one cartoon with Daffy Duck, and he's very, very, very meek. And very shy, and that's when I think of meek, I think of this guy. But that's not what it means at all. The meek and gentle are the strongest influencers in people's lives. Think about that for a second. The gentle or the meek are the strongest influencers in people's lives. So, Greg, that's crazy. How could that be? Let's look at some verses here. This is Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, and I'm just going to read this for you. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So sometimes when I think of meekness, I think of someone that's easily swayed or easily changed or just goes with the flow. And that's not what we're supposed to be at all. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So here it describes how gentleness is outside of the box of what we think, of what this world, and keeps the body of Christ together. It grows the church and makes it a spiritual force for good to the rest of the world. If we look at like the world, then we're just another organization. Great Commission or Glen Arbor is just another group of people together doing something. Gentleness involves humility and thankfulness. Remember, we thank the Lord for all this he gave us today, toward God, and polite, restrained behavior towards others. The opposites of gentleness are anger, a desire for revenge, and self-condemnation. And notice the last one, self-condemnation. It takes a strong person to be truly gentle. One One, how about you know who Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is? He's a poet, right? And one of his poems is The Blacksmith. And he describes there is, in the poem, the main character is described like this. The smith, a mighty man is he, with large and sinewy hands and the muscles of a brawny arms, are strong as iron bands. However, in church, this is a much longer, I'm not going to redo the whole poem. In church, he hears his daughter singing a hymn. The smith is overcome with emotion, and with his hand, rough hands, he wipes a tear out of his eyes. This gentleness, this is might restrained. Humility and grace can be touched from the inside. Strong, yet knowing who is stronger, is gentle and thus becomes more powerful than any hammer on an anvil. Good example of this, a person that reminds me of this is Foster, right? So he's a big guy, strong. He takes 4-inch pipe, bends it over, like this, and puts it up, puts it in, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I think of Foster. That he tells me that he does those things. So I just assume that that's the case. And so I'm not going to, you know, challenge him. And but also a very gentle person, one of the most gentlest people I know. And to be able to be touched inside gives you the ability to touch others inside. If you want to be tough, you will be governed by that toughness and the rules of that world. The tough one wins until another tougher person comes along, untoughing you. Right? So, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Right? If you have a big mouth showing people how you can be smart and tough in order to protect yourself, you will influence people away from yourself and from Christ, because they will not see him in that. So you might ask, well, like there's a book that says How to Win Friends and Influence People. You're familiar with that book by Dale Carnegie. It is about influence through gentleness. That's what that book is really about. It's through handling people gently and with care to care about what they care about. That is the key element of that book. It's to show that you care about what they care about, and you will influence people for the gospel. You know, some might ask us, why, you know, some people have asked me, well, why am I so ineffective? Why can't I, you know, why am I so ineffective? Hey, stupid, do you know why I'm not effective for the gospel? What's wrong with you? There might be an answer right there. Another verse I was going to share, Psalm 45:4, and in your majesty ride on victoriously. This is kind of in reference to what Jesus was talking about. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, let your right hand teach you awesome things. And it's relation to truth and meekness, truth and gentleness. That combination is very, 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 very powerful in people's lives. So how do we look to Jesus to really learn about gentleness? And I would say a lot of it is when he goes to the cross. There were many, many examples, and I was telling Earl this morning, I had a tough time deciding which ones to pick. But these are the ones where I picked that were showed both strength and gentleness at the same time. So the first item is give him control. In Matthew 26:39. Here, Jesus, this is right before he's about to be arrested. And he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So this is an example of Jesus giving the Father control. There are other examples of this. But in the same way, God wants us to give him control of our lives. Relying on our own logic, we have no impetus. If we rely on our own thoughts or our own abilities, we have no reason to submit to God's leadership. With the wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit, however, we begin to see why we should be completely submit to God as the Lord, as Lord of our lives. Human power under human control is like a half-broken weapon in the hands of a child. But gentleness places our strength under God's guidance. It is a powerful tool. It is a very powerful tool in God's kingdom. Every person is powerful. We can speak words that influence others. We can act in ways that help or hurt. And we can choose what influences will inform our words and actions. Gentleness constrains and channels that power in a very, very specific way. To be gentle is to recognize that God's ways and thoughts are high above our own. Another verse that kind of says that is Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. There's a bigger plan here. There's something much more going on than my little world. Gentleness is to humbly realize that our worldviews are shaped by exposure to sin and the misinterpretations of experience. It is to accept God's worldview reflecting truth about the spiritual and the material worlds and bringing those truths to bear into people's hearts. That's what gentleness really is bringing that all together. So giving him control is first step in that. Recognizes his plans are overall. Probably one of the more difficult things for Jesus was when he was betrayed. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 26, verses starting with verse 47. And I'll just read this to you, but if you can follow along. And now I have to find it. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whoever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." I thought Earl and I had an interesting discussion. He said this morning is that what's interesting is that he calls Judas his friend, but Peter Satan, because Judas was doing what was part of God's will. Interesting. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which says that it must happen this way?" And that time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching you, but you did not seize me. But all this has been taking place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets." And the disciples left him, and they fled. Jesus lets this happen, even though he could beat the snot out of them. Really? 12 legions of angels against that group? That's not really a very balanced. So he could flex his muscles. He could take them out. No problem. But he didn't. In fact, he uses this time to teach them. God's plan would not be fulfilled if that didn't happen. The greater good for everyone, including everyone in this room, would not have happened had that arrest not happened. Even the ones arresting him were taught or showed and that he had to go. He told them he had to go. There will come a day when you will have to go too. When you will have to choose to be gentle instead of fighting back for the greater good. It will happen at least once, or has happened or will happen somewhere. People are being persecuted every day are in this boat. They recognize that for this greater good, they're going to be put in jail, they're put to death, whatever it is, they're persecuted for this greater good. So they act in this gentleness the same way Jesus is showing. They have strength, they could fight back, but they don't. It is to our advantage to have a gentle attitude towards God because he is omnipotent and we are not. He might say, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? God challenges Job. Tell me if you have understanding. God knows everything in the past, present, and future. We can't even get, you know, some of you say, well, wow, we can forecast the weather. Well, sort of, right? We can see what the radar's telling us. But God is in charge of that. It's like a child to his parents. We may cry out, you just don't understand. But God does understand more than we can possibly know. The reverse sense say, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets, something much more dangerous, not just the past, present, and future, but what's inside here. He knows everything in here. And he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. And that's why we kind of would submit to that, become gentle. All right, so how do we apply this? There were many, many, many examples where Jesus corrected people or taught them. And some of those we went when I was talking about being loving. He was loving towards the Pharisees. He was loving towards various people, the tax gatherers and the prostitutes. He was loving in many, many different ways. And so I had a hard time picking a good one, but I chose this one because it, again, shows his strength versus being gentle. So, and this is John 8. You can turn to John 8, verse 8, starting with verse 8. This is talking about when that, and we did a little bit of this last time. We went over this one before, but I liked it still for what it showed. John 8, verses 8, and he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Oh, that is. I have the wrong reference. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? Let's just pause for a second. So it's very, very clear to me that, like, they didn't know this woman was doing this, and they had ample opportunity to perform the stoning. So they knew what they should, that they would be doing that. So my guess is that this has been going on for some time and they just haven't done anything about it. But now they had an opportunity to throw this before Jesus to use it to test him. They were saying this, testing him. Well, it says it. They were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older one. And as he left alone, and he was left alone with the woman where she was, in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus says, I condemn you neither. I neither condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Now, look how Jesus corrects in gentleness both the crowd and the woman. He could have sit there, you hypocrites, you're just trying to test me. You're a bunch of losers. Or he could have flexed his muscles and brought down the angels, said, you know, destroy them. He could have done lots and lots of different things. But instead, he was quiet. And they were persistent, like, why isn't he not answering? And he could have corrected them easily with in arguing with resentment and anger, knowing that their salvation was far more important than his pride. You know, we'll forgive readily because any offense toward us is nothing compared towards our offense against God. Offenses he's already forgiven. Competition will disappear when we really think about that, put that into place. We can even look at the situation and go, oh, those foolish Pharisees, or we also say the foolish disciples. We often compare ourselves and say, I would never do that. The truth is we have in some way already done it. That's what he's forgiven us of. As the goal becomes less about ourselves, when we think about that, it isn't about me. And I think that is the biggest battle Christians or anyone has in this life, is trying to recognizing, you know what? This life isn't about me. Because as soon as it becomes about me, in the end, that's all you'll have, yourself. But if it becomes about others, then you have all of that. You have what Christ has given you. Another verse to share is from Philippians 1:15 through 18. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. So Paul, this is Paul writing, Philippians. And so he's in prison. And so there's these other people that apparently are proclaiming Jesus to be better in the tier of this new religion, of this new Christianity. So they want to be, oh, Paul can't do it anymore. So there's this opening. Hey, we can step right in and be in charge. That's because that's what I really want, is to be in charge. It's for selfish ambition. But, you know, so I'll proclaim Christ to build the group. And as soon as that we put that in, we stop being gentle. We miss the point of what Christ is trying to teach us here. It isn't about us. And that's what Paul, look at Paul's attitude. I will rejoice. I don't care how it gets done, as long as it's getting done, because those people are more important. And that's where our attitude would come from. There is a bigger game here, bigger stakes than my pride or my dreams or my issues here. That is world salvation. That's what's really, really, really at stake. John the Baptist is another example of that. He was very fiery preacher. Would you say he was trying to build his congregation? If he was doing a terrible job. Yet he envied true gentleness when he said, Jesus must become greater. I must become less. It is acting like this bigger spiritual picture is really real. That's what this is about. That's what gentleness is recognizing there's a bigger game here and playing it that way. Gentleness is reaching deep inside from one person, yourself, with the power of Christ to another. It is acting, again, like this bigger spiritual picture is real. Another verse, Paul is describing himself. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek. And so, some people say, I who am meek because I'm so weak, such a weakling. When I think of Paul, I do not think of Paul as a weakling. I who am meek when face to face to you, but bold towards you when absent. This, he realized that when he's with them, he needed to be gentle because they might not be able to handle it. He was careful with them as you would with a little child, because there's a bigger, bigger, bigger story here. There's a more at risk here than just my pride or my rights or my values. There's much, much more at stake than my stuff. So lastly, we talked about how to be gentle, but how do you receive gentleness yourself from the Lord or even from others? Remember we talked about that he gave us a perfect picture of being gentle when he came into Zion, when he came into Jerusalem. He said, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and now he offers us this gentleness as a gift to us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in it, we'll be filled with this fruit as well. It's just a matter of if we want it. Because to be changed from the inside is scary. That's probably the biggest thing when I work with people, when we work with people as pastors, is we can talk and talk and talk about stuff, but then when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of our hearts, that's when it gets ugly. You mean I have to change? You mean to be like Christ? Well, that's way, 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 what? I didn't sign up for that. That's what we're really talking about here. Jesus said, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that's, at times, we struggle to receive gentleness from Jesus himself, because we're still trying to be tough. We're trying to deal, and if you want to talk to someone that really struggles with it, you're looking at them. You know, I'm a me, I got resources, I can do it myself, I'm a do-it-yourself person. You know, I can, you know, fix that, do that, do what it takes, we get it done, right? We get it done, get her done, right? That's me all over. But struggling to receive what he has actually given is to, it's like, wow, he is stronger. He has the answer. He is truth. He is compassion. He is love. And that gentleness for me and for you, that is tough. You don't need to protect yourself against Jesus. Let me say that again. We don't need to protect ourselves against Jesus. He is gentle, even though he's powerful. He could call his angels to beat the snot out of you, to change you at an instant, if he wished it. If he wanted to say, take you and say to Gonzo, I call my angels to change you, to stop being and beat the snot out of you until you become the gentle person that you need to be. In fact, we all wish that, actually. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that against your will because of the truth that he loves you, that he loves you, that he loves you. He wants you to come to him. He respects or loves your will and what you want because he loves you. So if you can accept his gentleness, then you will be able to show the same gentleness to others in a really, really way. And then you will be a powerful influencer more than you have ever been before. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are gentle with us. We ask that you'd help us to give you control and to give you to change our lives from the inside, that we can trust you, that we can correct in gentleness, that we can be like you were with the woman, that we can be that even though we want to say you're wrong, we can change and be gentle. We can be just like you. We can come in and be as gentle as you are. Lord, change us from the inside and help us to receive that into our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.